Well, good morning and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our sermon text this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. He was moved with compassion for them. To understand our text better, let us read it in its context. We'll read Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The word compassion is used in Matthew 9:36 to describe deep feelings of concern that Jesus had for the multitudes that he saw. He saw them when traveling from village to village in his homeland. He not only had deep feelings, but he also acted on his love, and he made it a reality. In the preceding chapter, over in Matthew 8, the Bible tells us of the many places that Jesus traveled, the many places where he worked his ministry and his healing, doing the things only the Son of God could do. So a better meaning for the word compassion for us to use this morning, for us to apply this morning, is what I've titled the sermon, Love in Action. Everything Jesus did was from a love relationship. Putting love in action is the missionary ingredient that the world doesn't understand. Sometimes it's even misused by individuals and even in some churches. This morning, today, I'd like us to recapture the meaning and the reality of putting love in action. Being a laborer for the harvest. Today we'll be looking at three applications. Number one, our example. Number two, our motivation. And number three, our cost. Our application number one, our example. Jesus is our example. We teach and we pray and we preach that we should live like Jesus. He's our example in everything that we do. He's our example in everything that we say. He motivated the early church to practice this exact kind of love. He said of himself in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." If Jesus thought of himself as the one who reaches out to those outside the eternal kingdom, then we are to follow that example as well. Back to the word compassion. The meaning of compassion is to recognize the suffering of others and then take action to help. The Bible defines the meaning of compassion in a couple of other different ways. We are to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. We are to defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Jesus is our example. His example, his compassion, his love in action, it's expressed throughout the Bible and expressed specifically in his teachings. Read the parables that you find in Luke chapter 15. He spoke of a shepherd who had 100 sheep and he lost one of them. What did he do? He went searching for it until he found it. He spoke of a woman who lost a valuable coin. And she searched her house until she retrieved it. And again in Luke 15, we read the story of a forgiving father waiting for that wayward, lost son. His examples is seen in his actions. Look closer at Jesus' actions in these verses in our sermon text. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. He saw the multitudes. He saw the crowds. That sight touched him tremendously. Jesus saw people differently than others did, even differently than his disciples did. The little children, blind men, lepers, the women of Canaan, even prostitutes were people whom Jesus loved for the sake of a new life. All while others shunned these people. Do you want a challenge right now? As we sit here today, as we walk the streets of our city, as we wander the halls of our workplace, as we're in school, in the halls, in the classrooms, look at the people around you and see them as Jesus sees them. Sometimes the size of the crowd can be overwhelming. I get it. I understand. The multitudes and our community need the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus. The growing numbers of the unchurched people in our great land need to hear the good news of Jesus. Think of the challenge to bring love and to bring hope to the empty hearts and lives around us. My brothers and sisters, these people are sheep without a shepherd. Some of them are distressed. Some of them are miserable. Some of them are dejected, castaways, feeling like castaways with no hope for the future. And they're scattered abroad, separated from hope and life. No place to go except to Jesus. Love in action drove Jesus to the cross. Love in action was so great that it wouldn't let Jesus die on that cross until a repenting thief on a nearby cross was forgiven and promised eternal life. Our example. You want to talk about a laborer for the harvest? You want to talk about a servant who loved to serve? Jesus loved so much. That's why he's our example. Our second application, our motivation. What drives us? What inspires us? The sinner's destiny is our motivation. The scripture tells us that a person without Jesus Christ will spend eternity separated from him. Think about how tragic that is. How sad it is when we know that we could have helped that person escape it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God promises that anyone who believes in Jesus, trusting him alone as the Savior, will be saved. In other words, will not be destined to hell. That's the destination for those who do not give their lives to Jesus. There's no hiding that fact. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus saw such multitudes in distress. Do you? Do you? Would you reach out your hand to help a drowning child? Would you come to the aid of an elderly person who fell in the parking lot? Would you warn someone of imminent danger up ahead? Or would you let them go on? Then why wouldn't you let them know and tell them of a way to avoid hell? Many of us have probably heard of the Salvation Army. The first general for the Salvation Army, his name was General William Booth, and he was the founder of the Salvation Army. He once said that he would like to send all of his officer candidates to hell for 24 hours as part of their training. He felt only then would they see the need for the lost to be saved and be able to help with the sacrifice necessary to seriously reach out to all of those outside God's saving grace. No doubt, we take too lightly sometimes the sinner's destiny. We think of the world so far away from our own lives, and we don't attempt to help. But they're right here in front of us. Right here around us. The harvest. It makes sense. It makes sense to share the gospel. Think about that newly saved person. Think about yourself when you first got saved. The energy, the excitement, the peace of that new life, the changes in your character, the changes in your personality, how you looked at life, your lifestyle, because you came to know Jesus Christ and salvation. You remember that feeling? This is the only way to change what our communities look like today. This is the only way to affect and impact our cities, our states, our nation, the world. You can do it. You can do it. Don't sell yourself short. Jesus is our example. The sinner's destiny should be our motivation. Our third application this morning is the cost. I know what you're thinking. This is going to be a tough one. Putting love in action has a cost. We don't like cost. I don't like cost. Let me remind you of something. Putting love in action cost Jesus his life. And yet through it, he purchased forgiveness of our sins. What greater love is that? To care like Jesus cared. It will cost you self-love. It will cost you self-giving love. It's hard. Are you prepared to love like Jesus loved? Let's consider the costs. It's going to cost attitudes. It's going to cost our attitudes, how you perceive, your outlook. When Jesus saw the countless people, he didn't think of their personalities. He didn't comment on their worthiness. His actions involved an assertive approach in his thinking. An attitude based on love. Nothing else. When he saw them, he didn't reject them. He forgave them in love. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We need to look at others that same way. Another cost. It costs prejudices. Let me remind you that prejudice is more than racial. That's the first word that might come to our mind. It's an action towards those who are not like us. Think of the words prejudgment, preconceptions. It's the same thing. When you think of the word prejudice, think of the word judicial, right? A court term, meaning a ruling being handed down, a decision. And then you put the word pre in front of it, which means before. Your prejudice is making a ruling, a decision, a thought about someone before you even know them or their situation. Putting love in action will cost you. Don't do that. Don't do that prejudice stuff. Put love first. Mark 12, verse 31, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Another cost for putting love in action. It costs time. You're going to lose your me time. Now, your time means time for others. It also means time praying to God for others. Make the most of your time to share with others the hope of a new life in Jesus Christ. Make the most of that time. Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Use it the way God intended all of us to use it. Another cost. It's going to cost family. It costs family. Are you willing to share your loved ones with others as they go out and spread the gospel? Are you willing to separate your time with your family sitting at home while you're out there in the streets evangelizing the gospel? Are you willing to live and die for the gospel? Do you lead by example, or are you holding out for number one? You know, I'm reminded of the book that was written by Gale Sayers. You may know that guy. He's a former football player whose book inspired the movie Brian's Song. The title of the book was I Am Third. And I only read it because it was a book about football and I thought I would like it. But it is a very powerful and spiritually moving book. In that book, I Am Third, Gale Sayers explains, God is first. My friends and family are second. And I am third. Are we setting that example? I said this before, anyone can set an example. Kids can set an example for their parents. Parents should be setting examples for their kids. You can be an example in your church, on the street where you live, in your workplace. Are we setting that example? Another cost. It costs you your real self. This means exactly what it says. This has the same meaning as the words that Jesus spoke to the young rich ruler. It will cost all of you. You need to ask yourself, is your heart in the right place? As we recall who our example is, Let us remember who said and told us to take up the cross and follow him. Luke 9, verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Love in action is more than words. It's literally a positive action on the part of the believer. When you think about it, it's a supernatural endowment from God. That's what should drive us. That's what should propel us to put love in action, so that others may live. God's not so much interested in what we do. He's interested in why we do it. Your heart. Putting love in action deals with our service for the Lord, and it examines our motives on the real reason why we serve. It shines the light of truth on what we outwardly do, to see if it is a work of the flesh or to see if it is a work of God. Is what we do to be seen of men? Or is what we do to honor the Savior by being a testimony to righteousness? You see, God is the one who is love, and he tells us in his word what love truly is. What a wonderful thing to love others. What a wonderful thing it is to be a peace for others. That's the peace of Christ. That's the peace of Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Be brave, be bold, be a laborer, be a harvester, be a worker for the Lord. A person who truly loves, cannot be easily hurt. A person who truly loves will rarely ever get bitter and criticize others. And a person who truly loves will put others first, just as Jesus taught us. In Jude verse 2, he writes, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. May God help us to apply these godly principles in our lives and to be loving Christians and to make our love extend beyond the walls of this church so we can make an impact on the world around us and be like our Lord Jesus and put our love in action. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son Jesus and the sacrifice he made on the cross for us. Lord, there are so many others out there who don't know you, who don't want to know you. And we're here, Lord God, because of your love, your mercy, your grace, and it's our job. It is our job to let them know about you, to see the impact that you have in our lives, the bounce in our step, the peace in our heart. Because of you, Lord God, you've changed our lives. And because of that, we have eternal salvation. May we be bold, be brave to share that with others. And Father God, I know that many times I kick myself because I miss opportunities to share your word. And it hits me later in the day. I should have said this. I should have said that. Oh Lord, may we not be down on ourselves, but use it as a learning experience, Lord God. And look for those opportunities. Seek those opportunities out. All of us. Father God, I pray that as this week goes, and this day, and this month, that you place us in opportunities to share your word, to share about you and your son Jesus. I pray you give us the words of wisdom, the courage, the awareness, and the support to be a laborer for the harvest that is out there. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.